Good morning. Good New Year to everybody. Today is Wednesday, January the 3rd. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor and now Chairman of or President of?
Chairman.
What are you?
Chairman of RCRC, yes. Okay.
You know, that explains the long black robe that you're wearing. Rex Bones alongside. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
I survived the holidays.
That's at our age, that's all we can do.
Yeah, no kidding. Our quote this morning comes from, now we say Michelangelo. I think the Italians say Michelangelo as one word. Quote, "I'm still learning," unquote. Ain't that the truth?
The minute you stop learning is the day you die.
Yeah, ain't that the case. So what's cooking? What's keeping you busy this week?
Busy through the holidays, kind of quiet around the office, a lot of phone calls. I've been going in every day, so I've been getting, you know, playing some interference, getting people, you know, the end of the year things, interim cannabis permits are, you know, up in the air and moving forward as they will after the first of the year. Making some headways on that. There are some building permits going through. I got to help a guy get his building permit a week earlier or expedite a little bit because he was going on vacation. He wanted to make sure his crew kept working while he was gone. So that was kind of nice.
Now, there was some discussion last week about public meetings, public hearings, about what sidewalks and what corners should be taken care of first.
It's part of the AD.
Kind of an interesting way to approach the priority list.
It's part of our ADA edict that we got back in 2000 when we got the judgment. The federal judgment back in 2006, I believe it was, when we first got it and said we had to bring this stuff up. And it was kind of, we should get to that. And really wasn't on the front burner. And I don't know if that was our fault for being inadequate or everybody just says, well, nobody's saying anything about it. And we were making improvements as we went along. And then the feds came in and says, you haven't made enough improvement. You have to. So we've hired a couple ADA coordinators. That's what they do. They're having the CAO's office and a couple committee members are having weekly meetings on where they go. We have approximately 1,400 to 1,500 curb cuts that they deem.
Those are the stupid yellow things?
Yeah.
That have eggs coming out of the grocery store?
Yeah.
Okay.
That we have to, and I don't know if they're. I don't know if we have to put the rumble strips in there. If we can just put rumble strips rather than those.
Yeah.
But we have to. They were at the county library. I noticed the other day measuring all the sidewalks, and they're doing all the buildings and stuff, so we can help with the ADA accessibility issues that we were under a federal edict.
But the interaction with the community is something that's a little bit different. That seems like a little twist. Is that because the feds
it's partially that, partially the involvement, partially so people know what's going on in their neighborhoods and just bringing it out, and it's all part of the process, and I actually appreciate the process because we might have a neighborhood that has a real issue with a couple curbs and there happen to be three people that are that need the facility changed to adapt to them, but somebody else may come in and says, I don't think it's an issue. We don't have to be first. So it's kind of hard if you don't live in the neighborhood to find out or in the area. And so they're going to have
spending a ton of money doing a ton of research and studies and
knocking on doors to door. And so we have the public meetings. And then if somebody says, why didn't you do me first? And they're going, well, we had three meetings, you know, it's just.
So is there any focused on the priority of the population? I mean, like the Eureka area going to go first, and then the South Bay or Fortuna or the Valley?
I think the calendar's been set up. I can't tell you how it is set up. You know, and obviously we're going to be obviously in the unincorporated areas except for our own facilities.
Right.
So, you know,
well, and weather dependent. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of those types of variables that are part of this.
And one of the problems is going to be is finding the contractors that can that can do this in the time frame, and I mean it's a big deal.
Now, and I would imagine that even though you might be dealing with folks who aren't as regular with it, I mean RAO can't be everywhere.
No, no, REO is good on it, but this is probably even a bigger job than REO can do in the time frame. And I know we were talking.
That's what I was going to get to, is the time frame.
Yeah, and we were talking to, because, I mean, for one, I'd love to have REO do it because I know the quality of their work and, you know, but, and they do it all the time. They build sidewalks and they that's what they do. The issue being is there's so many of them. There was a firm, I think, out of Sacramento that was looking at it and was pretty much committed or like that, but then they've been drug off because of the Santa Rosa fires and the fires and stuff. It's going to be hard to find contractors because they're offering big money, 6 days a week, come on down. People can make a lot of money in a short period of time rebuilding, you know, all the devastation that's happened.
Is there any allowance by the feds for that?
There,
because obviously that was anything that was planned. That's nothing that you guys there, could.
There's going to have to be. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a back and forth. But since the can has been kicked down the road since 2004 or 6 or whatever it was, I imagine, you know, we're having a little bit of thumb on our heads anyway.
Yeah, they're going to be paying attention a little bit more. Yeah, but yeah. Something like that, you know, if you can demonstrate.
And we've
their
got
faith
a.
At this point.
Yeah, and we've put a pretty good team together to meet the needs of the citizens that need the ADA accessibility. So, I think, and I think we've had 3 or 4 buildings that we have done and certified now. So, and that some of that's been work that's taken place over time and things like that. So it's not like we haven't done anything and they've, you know, I jest when I say kicking the can down the road. We probably haven't done as much as we could. But the problem being is when we needed to do most of it was in 2007, 2008, and we had no money. I mean,
before the fires.
Yeah. Before the depression.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, you mentioned the budget. Is the money there for this, or is the money there for this in phases?
Money's there for it in phases. And you know, we're robbing Peter to pay just like any other county budget.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept of fixed monies, I know is something that's kind of halfway tough, particularly for those that are as passionate as they are for some of the various departments and whatnot. You've got a little bit of latitude with the Measure Z. Okay, a little bit of latitude possibly with the gas tax, depending on how that thing ever comes out. You've got some of the marijuana money. That's
now, the gas tax, I see, has now hired a political action committee, and they've started a public relations firm to roll it back.
Yeah. So it may be there, it may not be there. But regardless, one of the things when I hear tight budget in Humboldt County, what I hear is stagnant economy. We need to get some jobs. You know, that to me is always the underlying current. Is there anything that the county is doing at this point to try to attract businesses? I don't think I've shared this one with you. I had a conversation with Dad a couple of weeks ago when he was selling advertising for us. And he said, you know, when so many of the businesses that he called on don't exist anymore, and those niches don't exist here. He said, you know, when the lumber industry went out, it wasn't just the logging guys. Or the mills, it was the loggers, it was the truck drivers, it was the guys that serviced, you know, the mechanics and the folks like that, the Caterpillar dealers.
That's my previous life, yeah.
Yeah, and you start going out and there's like 10 or 12 industries that were impacted, not just one industry. So is there any attempt, active, ongoing, week in, week out, to attract a business to the area, not just a business, but one that also has those ancillary support businesses that really could have an impact on our area?
Well, I think every time somebody has an interest in coming, we throw out the welcome mat and try to throw everything we can at it.
But overt, not reactionary.
But no. Away from being reactionary, I think more of our focus, and the way I feel and the way I look at it, is the businesses are here. Addressing them like I bring this up on a regular basis, but Humboldt Redwood, addressing them on a regular basis because we were talking timber, but Humboldt Redwood has added shifts. They've added, you know, they're doing more, you know, they're coming up and adding people, they're adding personnel. There, and you're seeing that ancillary. They've brought in a couple more loggers. There are more trucks. People are buying new trucks to truck with them. The guys that, you know, when the trucking fleets got smaller and, you know, some of them went away, the Wayne Bears and stuff like that, some of these other guys are growing back up, you know, from 8 trucks to 14 trucks to 18 trucks. So we're getting some of that. I think there's been some assistance, and I think there, not as much as I feel there should have been, but again, we've talked about the North Fork Timber, North Fork Lumber out there at Corbell. They have dumped a huge amount of money out there, and they're going to split shifts between Schmidt-Bauer, and there is going to be an increase in jobs. There's going to be an increase in logging. They're going to have a sort yard for their Trinity River Mill in Weaverville and stuff like that. So those are all added issues and things like that. Now, the other problem being is we talk about trying to bring these new people up here or something new. But I'm not so sure right now, if we brought up a business up here that needed 40 qualified people, I don't know if we could provide them 40 qualified people, because Humboldt Redwood and all these other people are trying to hire qualified people. And that's the biggest problem right now, is finding good qualified people to fill these positions.
The timber industry or another, pick an industry, it doesn't have to be that, just any industry. You know, there are some that are worth more than others, I guess would be the simplest way to think of it.
Well, rightfully so, but I mean, go take a look at the construction business. $25-$30 an hour jobs. They're having trouble filling those, putting people in those seats.
That are qualified.
That are qualified. They're having trouble finding laborers that can work themselves into that new seat. I mean, if a guy can go out there
and... So is government largesse just so much that it's not attractive for these people to go after these jobs? I mean, that seems goofy. I mean, you go 25, 40, that's a 52, and plus whatever the benefits are, a year job, and if the median household income is still $43,000 a year, that's more than the average family.
Yeah.
Why would they have a tough time unless there was something else going on?
Well, and, you know, that something else is not taking all of the
whatever. I mean, it could be government largesse. I don't think it's the marijuana industry anymore.
No, you know, and I don't know if it's government largesse, because I mean, we hire, but we also retire. You know, I noticed the other day that the government has grown in the last 10 years. Humboldt County's grown. The employees have grown, I think, 10% I saw the other day, I think, or something like that. But with regulatory process and all the things that we have to do over the last 10 years, I can almost justify it. And I'm not a big government guy.
Like your ADA people.
Yeah, there's six or eight people working with that. I mean,
there's some of that
AB 109, Prop 47, all these things that put more took a lot of the largest off the state. You know, but emptied the prison. Yeah, I mean, we have a jail that basically acts as a prison now. I mean, because we have people that should be in prison that are in our jail. With that, we have gang activity. We have, you know, all the things that are prison, and trying to keep it completely staffed.
But still, $25 or $30 an hour. I mean, let's say it's at 30. You're talking 60K plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I remember a lot of those construction jobs are only seven months, 8 months. But with that, they're also 10-hour days. Most of the time you are working, so it's still,
The education community is running into the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, so is this a reflection of having a stagnant economy and the kids that are coming up through school leaving the area and being replaced by seniors or retireds?
Yeah.
It seems goofy to me that we're not able to attract people for these jobs unless there's really some very narrow... if we need brain surgeons, okay, I get that one. But day labor?
Yeah.
With trainable to move into a career?
Well, that
seems a little goofy.
One of my favorite guys, Vic Gwinnup, used to always say, he said, when the Headwaters money first came here, he says, build a trade school. build, I don't care what it is, build a trade school, and then those people that need those trades will follow that worker class, because that's what they're looking for is workers.
Well, that's kind of what CR started out as.
Exactly.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. Rex Bones alongside. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Lolita Cheese Company, and by Redec. Rex, as you mentioned the Headwaters and Mr. Gwinnip. The concept I would think that a lot of us have is if we're waiting until the job opportunity is there and then we train to it, we're behind.
You're exactly.
I mean, we can't do that. So that gets back to the proactive versus reactive again, that somehow, some way, I have sensed over the years that we're always reactionary. Instead of defining our own future, we're waiting for the future to happen to us and either save us or put us into a different situation.
Yeah.
That's kind of the root of the question about what are we doing about economic development that is long-term, that is sustainable, that could employ another 20 or 30,000 people here. I mean, God knows we got enough space for it if we get the houses. So what are we doing? How are we attracting? I know it's not really government sector to do, but on the other hand, nobody else is doing it either.
Yeah, and I know we've got Redec. I think Greg Foster and his crew, I know they do some financing and everything else. I don't know. I've never served on that board, so I don't know.
Rotate onto it?
No, I don't. I don't have the knowledge of everything that they do, and I don't know how much outreaching they do. I know they do a lot with the airport, trying to get an airline in here, and I don't know if another airline is. I know it's critical that we get one or get some more flights out of here, which I think will be coming. But I don't know if that would stop the somebody from moving here. I think our biggest hindrance, and I've said this before, and I'll probably say it, is our regulatory impact that we have because we're California, even though we're rural California. I mean, I read the other day.
We can't change a lot of that, though.
No, we can't change much of it. I mean, I've got people that come to the meeting every week and says we should change the forestry rules. I said, well, we don't have much say in that, but it's fun to hear every week. But I look at the other aspects of what we can change and what we do, and I think we did that somewhat in the general plan. I think we're looking at the city of Eureka. Looks like they're trying to streamline some permitting issues and trying to ease up some height restrictions and some parking restrictions. I sometimes get nervous about that because if you're going to ease up the restrictions, tell the guy that rents that place that he can't have three cars now that the parking restrictions have been eased up. But
right.
I mean, I don't know how you address that. But I think easing up some of the burden that we are in charge of. But I mean, perfectly case in point, and is since we were talking about logging, mechanical, you know, feller bunchers and the things, the mechanical logging up in the woods, they're in a protected cab, you know, they're all enclosed and everything else. State comp in Oregon is about $4.80 a hundred. Here in California, it's $29 a hundred, $39 a hundred, depending on what your baud rate is and stuff like that. Well, this is something that one of the local contractors asked me to look into, and Jason Lyles and Mike McGuire have met with the insurance commissioner to look at that, because we have loggers coming from Oregon They hire their people in Oregon. They work out of Oregon, but they come contract here. So they pay the Oregon rate. And I've always said this, and I think I've said it on your show before. I don't think people in Oregon heal any quicker or bleed any less than the people in California. So what's the difference? What's the difference? That's a big chunk of change. And you can lose a contract on a bid just on the difference of the cost of your comp. And so those little regulatory things, and it just goes over and over and over. And now, you're right, SB1, take a look at the difference in gas prices between Brookings and here.
Oh, yeah, I mean, 40, 50 cents.
40, 50 cents. So yeah. These people can come across the border with their pickup tanks full and their pickup tank with their fuel tank in the back and save money right off the get-go that isn't available. So some of this regulatory process that the burdensome fees and things like that that we impose because, well, we're California and that's what we do. But I read a report the other day where 4,800 businesses in the last 19 months have left California. And the major place they went to is Texas. And those were businesses with 20 or more people. Well, you start doing that math. But with that being said, I also noticed that we went from 7 to 6 as the largest wealth, as the largest wealth driving entity in the world, the state of California.
Apparently we're behind.
Well, we've got tech. We have a lot of stuff going for us.
You mentioned tech. There was a program that was on last week that was indicating. Winston, I don't know if you remember, was it Facebook, was it Google, was somebody in the Silicon Valley, one of the first guys that were there, left and was going to Austin. He said it's become so narcissistic, so mentally regulated inside the box, well, we haven't done it that way before, and that the cost of doing business in California, he was pulling up stakes, sold his chunk, and was going to go down there and start up.
Michael Dell's worth $27 billion. He's the 20th richest man in the world. Or somewhere around there and everything else. And he's done it all from Texas.
If he was in California, he'd probably be about 40, 45. KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Rex.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, with some of the different challenges that are out there, you've got a new year. You've got your new responsibilities. Are you going to be shifting any of the committee assignments? Are you looking to change things or just kind of stay where you are?
I think I'm going to be okay. I'm pretty fortunate because I don't mind driving at night and early in the morning. So, I mean, I can do my Tuesday meetings and head down late Tuesday night. Our meetings for rural counties are on Wednesdays, and they work around our schedules. I'll have a couple days a week, days a month extra probably in Sacramento I'll have to adjust for. I've got some assignments. Humboldt Transit. I really enjoy Humboldt Transit, and there's some good stuff. I really enjoy Humboldt Waste Management and the air quality, and so I'm serving again on those. We changed things around. It's like HCOG. We used to have HCOG. Whoever was chair of the board went on to HCOG. Well, once finally, after four meetings, and you realize what the hell's going on, new comes
half
on board.
The year's gone.
I think Ryan served on HCOG now for, I think, 3 years now or 4 years, and he's got a good understanding. I think he's chair this year,
I was curious about why the rotation instead of, if that's what your passion is, that's what your passion is.
Because that's the way it was always done. Somebody says, why are we doing that? It's kind of like, we've looked at, we rotate chairs on our board, and it just rotates. And then we've looked at changing that. But then I think that can probably be much more polarizing, so I think we just rotate and everybody has to deal with me once every 5 years. Sorry.
I would think, if it's something excuse me, something that you really like to do, that's cool. But if it's just, like being the chair. I mean, if you want to be great, if you don't want to be great also, why would you want to burden yourself with another four to 10 hours worth of work a week so you can swing the gavel?
Yeah.
I'll be the sitting vice chair.
Yeah.
Boom, don't worry about it, and everybody else who wants to play big boy can do it.
Yeah.
It would seem to be much more efficient to do it that way, but I know the conspiracy folks might have a little concern that, okay, things are
always going to be slanted. Everybody, and the rotation. Now, and you know, I take a look at it. I really think Virginia runs a hell of a meeting. She does a really good job up there. She does, you know, she's abbreviated some of the things that we used to do. And the meetings are a little more fluid and things like that. And she welcomes everybody when they come up to speak and everything else. I think she does a great job. Me, I'm one of those guys that are just, you know, the meeting goes and you follow protocol. And I'm always looking at the county council to make sure how things are going and things like that. But it's just
so
basically.
So they got rid of the electronic prod?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's one of the other things I'd love to, you know, we're looking, you know, obviously we've done some updates into our chambers, and that was one of the ones that had to be ADA compliant, things like that. But we're also looking at a lit, you know, when you vote, you do the color, you do yes or no
some
instead
kind of a visual
of,
something.
Instead, yeah, because they can't always hear you. And you know, if you don't say anything, it's a yes vote. You know, you have to say nay for a nay vote. So, to upgrade that a little bit, because that's what a lot of the chambers have gone to, so people can see visually. You know, you'll see the City of Eureka and a few other places. But, you know, the committee assignments are important. And then you can also have the ones you really like. I mean, I think Mark really liked First Five, and I was the vice. I was his alternate. And I think Supervisor Wilson is now on First Five, and he has kids, so that kind of plays into it and things like that.
Yeah,
I like being the alternate because I got grandkids, so I, you know, when anything good, I get
every
to take them stuff
while.
From. Yeah. So, but the assignments are important, that we have the input and we know what's going on out there, and it gives you a an awareness. And then, like a lot of them, we serve with a lot of other electeds from other, you know, both, you know. And so we have a little bit of interaction with them. How's that going? And then obviously we have our Eureka City county meetings and things like that, because so we can deal with, you know, the homeless issue, the these mental health issues on the street, the these things that are so visible for all of us and seem to take so much of our time.
Meetings?
Yeah, we have meetings that take hours, that we take minutes at, that take hours, that...
Yeah.
Sometimes nothing happens.
Yeah, you take minutes, but it requires hours. It
takes hours for the
minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's the... Go ahead. You can use that one however you want, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Appreciate it very much.
All right. Hope to see you soon.
You will.
See everybody else tomorrow.